This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to your window into the meaningful impact being made across the Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. I'm your host, Marion Green, and I invite you to join me as I talk with inspiring guests and explore how the Catholic Development Fund creates ripple results. I'm your host, Marion Green, and today I'm chatting with Joanna Kearney, who is the leader of the pastoral team based at the Chanel Centre here in Hamilton. Welcome, Joanna.
Thanks, Marion.
So today I'm wanting to explore more about you, your role, and the work that you do at the Catholic Diocese here in Hamilton. And of course, I'm interested in how the funding from the CDF is put to work by you and your team. So, can you tell us a bit about your professional journey and what led you to your current role?
I can indeed, Marion. It's been a long journey. I've been reflecting that my husband has just been acknowledged at his place of work for 25 years service, and that got me realising that I've actually had five jobs over that 25-year period.
Wow.
averaging 5 years. Clearly I have a short attention span. But from a very young age, I really had a desire to travel, and I believe that was one of the reasons why I decided to study languages. And back in the day, a number of years ago now, Japanese was quite the language for New Zealanders to learn. I'm sure there is still interest in it, but at the time, Japan was probably our major trade partner. So I learnt Japanese, and that allowed me to spend a couple of years teaching in Japan. So I set off about 20, 21 years of age and was sent to a very remote part of Hokkaido, which is the northernmost island island in Japan. So we're talking minus 30 degree winters.
Ooh.
And if you can imagine standing on the beach and looking out to sea and all you can see is frozen icebergs. It was the ice floating down from Russia.
Wow.
So extraordinarily cold. Of course, well-warmed homes, and you dealt with it. You got steel-studded tyres, which took some getting used to on the roads. I had signed up to be an assistant teacher in high schools, but my local education board, in their wisdom, decided they'd send me, an untrained teacher, into primary schools. So I would turn up. There was about five or six primary schools that I would go around at any given week, and I'd have 55-year-olds staring at me.
Okay.
Now, Japanese had been my degree, but I was still struggling in the language. Particularly, it's actually very difficult to communicate with little children, if you think about it, in English, let alone in a language that's not your own.
Sure.
So I remember doing these classes, and of course I didn't want to complain. I didn't want to say, hang on, this isn't what I signed up for. I just wanted to do what I was told. I remember sweating extraordinarily. I think I must have lost pounds for every lesson I did. And what was really interesting was that the Japanese teachers themselves weren't interested in me. I don't think they thought I should be there, and I think I probably agreed with them. They thought that their five-year-old should be learning Japanese.
Right.
So they weren't helpful. So I did this for a couple of years, and I've got to tell you, amazing country, extraordinary culture, beautiful people. But the job itself really taught me resilience, taught me to stand up for myself, but I didn't during those 2 years. But I think I came back to New Zealand thinking I would always ask questions. I wouldn't just do what I was told to do if I didn't think it was what I had signed up for. So formative experience. This is going to go on for a while, Marion. Are you happy for me to keep
that's
on talking?
That's all good. Yes, that's all good. Very interesting.
So, yes, got home to New Zealand, studied to be a teacher. So I had enjoyed the experience enough clearly to think, well, this is probably what I wanted to do, but I wanted to do it in high schools. Taught for a couple of years down south in Christchurch. I'd never been to the South Island, having grown up in Hawke's Bay. Then children came along. I think that's my greatest and most treasured experience as being a mother. I have three beautiful children, Jack, Tara and Emmy. But I always wanted to keep a little bit busy, not necessarily work full time. So I got a couple of contracts, and one was in TV down in Christchurch. It started off live, which is an experience, doing a live TV show. I remember the producer actually being in shot as we were going to air, and I had to just physically push her out of the frame and control my giggles as I interviewed my guests. But, you know, it was a magazine-style show, so I think possibly the most famous guest I had were the Wiggles.
Fantastic.
Rugby, a lot of All Blacks. Paul Holmes, when he, I don't know if you remember Paul Holmes, when he was trying to be a singer. So he came down with his CD. You know, authors and such like. But it was another wonderful experience, pushing myself into an area that I had no real experience of, but really wanting to learn. And I think I think the guests, funnily enough, that I enjoyed the most were those that were really, really nervous. Just your typical people who had come on just to tell their story. And I like to coax their story out of them and make them feel at home, as you do for me here,
Mary. I'm doing my best.
Yeah, so then I moved from TV into comms and marketing. It seemed a natural sort of segue. And I worked at an independent school in Christchurch doing comms and marketing. But I hadn't travelled through Europe, but I had and continue to have an extraordinary love for history and for the classics, which I'd also studied along with languages. And thank God my husband works for a international company. So he was sponsored for us to move to the UK. Family of five, so Jack was 12 and my youngest Emmy was 4 when we moved. And we had 7 years. I was based in a Catholic school there as doing comms and marketing. And we made the most of the 7 years. We went to travel. And so we saw a lot of Europe. You know, having said that, you don't want to put 3 children in a car and spend a day at each site. So we would spend 2 weeks in France, we'd base ourselves somewhere for a week and then somewhere else for another week.
Sounds wonderful.
Well, France is wonderful, isn't it? And you know, we enjoyed the culture and the food. And it was a wonderful experience. Challenging, though. You know, sometimes I think families get these opportunities as we did, and we were excited, and we certainly have no regrets. But I do remember before we left, speaking with an Englishman who had moved to New Zealand, saying to me, oh, don't worry about your children. You know, kids are flexible. They'll adjust. But I have to say that for my oldest, for Jack at 12, it was tough. I think at 12, kids are starting to really form friendships, beginning to understand what matters to them at home.
Yes, so it's a bit of a tough age, isn't it, 12?
Really tough age.
You're neither here nor there.
Exactly. And we learned that the hard way, and he found it quite difficult. And then on the way back, when we came home 7 years later, my youngest was 12.
Oh, right.
And she found it difficult to readjust to New Zealand. In fact, she couldn't remember it. Considers herself probably a little bit more English than Kiwi now.
Right.
So we had to come back and reacclimatise ourselves to New Zealand. My husband is a surfer, so wherever we go, we have to be by the beach. So he suggested Mount Maunganui, and I thought, all right.
Yeah, not a hard thing to convince yourself on, is it?
It wasn't. So we feel very blessed to be by the beach. And it was coming home, and my mother, by this time, was starting to show signs of dementia. I'm one of 7 children, so she had been a very busy, very loving, very engaged mother. Lost my dad 10 years ago, and I don't think she ever got over that. So she's in a specialist unit for dementia patients now. So that journey has got me thinking a lot about suffering and what that looks like with a Christian lens, the Catholic Christian lens. And so I decided that I was a cradle Catholic, but I had never been to a Catholic school myself. My parents couldn't afford that. So I decided when we got back from the UK that I would engage in some formal study of my faith with the hope that it would help me to come to understand suffering and a loving God. So I undertook a part-time graduate diploma in theology, and I'm currently writing the final essay for what has been a 3-year journey, because when you are a mother and you are working and you decide to study, first of all, it's a mad idea. But secondly, you've just got to do it in such a way that you don't get, too overwhelmed with it all. So in the first year, 3 years ago, I did 4 papers. Last year I did 2, and now I'm finishing off with another 2.
Brilliant.
And so that sort of opened the door for me to work at the church, work for the church, which is what I'm doing now. And that's how I met you, Marianne.
Wow. So that's
I told you it was a long story.
Very, very interesting, though. And so that's how you, what led you to your current role.
Yes,
fabulous. Indeed. And so tell us a little bit more about your current role and what it actually involves.
So it's pastoral services manager. So, first of all, I work for the Lord and the church and Bishop Richard. And I also serve my team. I've got a team of 5 working in comms, design, faith formation, safeguarding and youth. So quite diverse portfolios, but all focused on Christ, all focused on the diocese, the Hamilton Diocese, and all guided by Bishop Richard's vision. So I'm 18 months in, and I'm used to being new. But it never gets any easier, really, because you have so much to learn in a new work environment. And while I had worked for a Catholic school, I'd never worked for the church before. And while I'd been a member of the church since a baby, actually working for the church is different to going along to Sunday Mass.
Absolutely. My experience is similar.
Indeed.
I'm a cradle Catholic, and there's so much you don't know until you actually work for the church.
Absolutely.
Many insights.
Yeah, really. And that takes time. And I've got a daughter who's gone back to the UK and just started a new job there. And I've said to her, just be kind to yourself, because that first year, while it's exciting, you don't realise how much information you're taking on board. You don't realise how much you're learning and how exhausting that is. And you sometimes can get down on yourself, and make a few silly decisions because you're still learning. So I said to my team, I'm just going to spend the first year listening and learning. And that's quite a humbling position to be in when you've already worked in quite a few workplaces.
For sure.
So you have to be prepared to humble yourself to start a new role, I think. But now I'm 18 months in, and I think I'm just starting to find my feet. You know, you have to earn your team's respect. And I think the listening and learning is a good start, so you don't rush in and say, well, I know all about this and this is what you're going to do. I'm sure I've made mistakes along the way.
Well, you're human after all, aren't you?
Yeah. But I suppose it's funny, I have managed a lot of teams because I have had a lot of jobs. But it's not something I've aspired to do. I'm a bit of a lone wolf. I've never said to the Lord, I want to be head of this team, I want to manage that team. Because I think it's a very challenging space to manage people, particularly when work hours are so much part of their lives and work provides so much purpose and meaning in their lives. So I've sort of tried to avoid it, but somehow the Holy Spirit has guided me into it. And as I say, made a lot of mistakes along the way.
But you feel like it's where you're meant to be?
Possibly. I think now. But it's, you know, here I am. I'm not going to disclose my age, Marion. But it's taken me many years to get decent at it, I think. And, you know, one of the things I used to really, when I'm go through this myself, the performance reviews, I used to not look forward to those at all. But actually, I really value those times now where I can sit down with my team and we've actually got a forum to actually be honest and open and constructive with each other. And you should come out of that review process feeling better and feeling rewarded. And I think I've finally learned how to do that. And I hope my team do too. I can't speak for them. So I'm there to serve them. I certainly to serve the bishop. I've got a couple of things. It's funny also what I've learned is what you may have done 20 years ago, well, you may pick up again. So I was asked to do a series of films for the Jubilee year for Pilgrims of Hope, which is our theme. So we've just completed, along with the Catholic Inquiry Centre, an exploration of the history of the Catholic faith in Aotearoa, New Zealand, So I spent a number of days travelling around the country.
Wonderful. I think we're going to catch up with you again another time and talk in more depth about your film.
That's great, because actually I think it's only just been pushed out diocese by diocese. I think Auckland may have just been published. Yeah, so we'll talk about that. And the other thing that's come up, which I love, so aside from managing and leading and serving my team, is a podcast called Catholic Kiwi Podcast. So I've completed four interviews. I've interviewed Archbishop Paul Martin, a Carmelite nun, which was wonderful, an anti-euthanasia advocate from Canada, which was wonderful, and also last weekend, we're just coming off the Hope and Renewal Summit, a Divine Renovation weekend. And the founder of Divine Renovation, Father James Mellon, born in Scotland, lives in Canada, was there, you know, with 500 Catholics gathered in Palmerston North to talk about hope and renewal. And he was there to lead it. And so I had the privilege of interviewing him for the podcast too. So that's being rolled out now. So if you do look, if you do Google and YouTube Catholic Kiwi podcast, you should find it. It's extraordinary how the Holy Spirit works, because I swear, 3 years ago, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great to do a podcast of Catholic people in New Zealand, because you don't hear a lot about the Catholic faith in New Zealand. And wouldn't it be great to call it Catholic Kiwi? And I remember I wrote to the Catholic Women's League, because at this stage I wasn't working for the church. I didn't know who you'd write to. And said, I've got this idea. Could you direct me somewhere? But they didn't get back to me. And so it's one of those many ideas that you have, and it just died a death. And here I am now, 3 years later, and the Holy Spirit has decided, yes, you could do your Catholic Kiwi podcast, but it will be with the church's official backing.
Brilliant. And of course, there's nothing like plugging another podcast on someone else's podcast. Yes. Good on you.
Yes, thanks,
you seize the moment. So you're listening to Ripple Results, brought to you by the Hamilton Catholic Development Fund, where we explore the ripple results that stem from a single action and radiate with meaning. We're here speaking with Joanna Kearney, leader of the pastoral team based here in Hamilton. So, Joanna, I understand that your team undertakes a variety of work within the Catholic community. Other members of your team will be chatting with us separately, but perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the kind of projects or initiatives the team undertakes and supports.
Yes. So I have, when I came into the job, I inherited a very experienced youth manager in Jill Yong. Jill is from the States and indeed about to head home to the States to look at university chaplaincy, among other things. Jill works tirelessly for our youth and young adults. So there's a number of young adult groups based in and around the cathedral here in Hamilton. They run a number of Catholic programs. Theology of the Body is one of those. Jill also is an expert event organiser, event lead, many, many years of experience, and she leads a youth festival called Set Free, and that happens in around Easter time each year, followed by a young adult festival called Heaven Comes. So she is all over those festivals and filling our youth and our young adults with the love of the Holy Spirit. So it's really exciting to see her in that space. A lot of experience, as I say, so I've leant on Jill a lot as I've stepped into this role. I've got a young designer, which is a real privilege to have a designer within a team. And Tyler turns out wonderful posters and booklets and publications. Our main publication, which she does in collaboration with Kirsty, our communications manager, is called Ke Te Kōrero, just won Most Improved Magazine Award at the Catholic Association, Press Association Awards in Canberra. So that was exciting.
Very exciting.
My newest recruit is Alison, and she looks after faith formation. And again, very, very experienced. Alison comes off about 8 years in her parish in Taupo. As she goes around our parishes, this is part of Bishop Richard's vision, that we have good numbers turning up to Sunday Mass, but are we actually speaking to them about what they understand about their faith? We cradle Catholics, Marion, I think you'll agree, can be very lazy. I mean, yes. we know nothing. We've known no Sunday without a Sunday Mass. But it's interesting when you look at your upbringing, how often did you actually speak about your faith with your family? you went to Mass, you knew basically about it. I mean, if you went to a Catholic school, you knew a bit more. But my family was so involved in sport that that's what we talked about. So actually coming to understand your faith is really interesting, and a mission sometimes for Catholics. So Bishop Richard wants us to get into our parishes and help, obviously, to convert, but also to look after our Catholics who are attending Sunday Masses and have questions, want to deepen their faith. And Alison very much is helping in that area, looking after our sacramental programs too, guiding.
Brilliant. And these people in your team, they cover the whole of the diocese, from Huntly to Gisborne.
They do, yeah. So that's a challenge. Could I just mention Robert? Robert looks after safeguarding, another very experienced practitioner in my team. Safeguarding, which is obviously very topical, very important. And he also he looks after our marriage preparation too. So to young couples out there, we have a great marriage preparation course. It's non-threatening. It's not preaching. It's very much learning from happily married couples about the challenges. So if you're looking to get married in the Catholic Church, we welcome your interest and your inquiry. Yeah, so it's a big diocese. It's a wide diocese, and that is the challenge. And for me, the Kaimais are a challenge, because I live in the Mount, so I come over, stay in Hamilton Monday through Wednesday.
So you're very familiar with that journey.
I am very familiar this morning, you know, and familiar with the number of trucks that are on that road. You know, and I always pray when I get in the car, because it's a pretty dodgy road, but here I am, still alive. So what we've actually done is recruit a new youth worker, and Jess will join us in December. And Jess is going to work out of Tauranga, because I've seen that what can be seen as a bit of a divide, that some people, some of our parishes on the other side of the Kaimais don't feel as much love, possibly. Right. We are a small team and we can't be in many places at once. So Jess will be hopefully working around parishes in the Bay of Plenty area. And of course, Gisborne. I mean, we love our family, our whānau in Gisborne. It is out on a limb, and they get sick of us saying that, but we do try to get out there as often as we can. We do invite them to come and see us, and often offer accommodation, because it is such a big way to come, a long way to come.
For sure, for sure. So can you give us any examples locally of things that your team has done recently?
Yes, well, I'm looking very exhausted, and you've been very nice not to tell me how exhausted I look, Marion.
You look fabulous, I think.
We've just come off family weekend, and when I say we, I mainly mean Kirsty, and I should also mention, I did mention Kirsty briefly, is an amazing member of my team who looks after our communications, our social media channels largely, and our magazines, but also runs this extraordinary family event annually. We had it in Rotorua this year, again, wanting to give love on the other side of the Kaimais. I went in on the Friday to set up and on the Sunday to pack down, and that was exhausting enough, but dear Kirsty and Alison were there for the whole weekend. So that's an example, but up to 25 families from around the diocese, and if they can't afford to pay, then we will subsidise it very heavily for them to take a weekend away from typical family life, to let us serve them, to let us help them with their faith, nourish their faith. We run programs for their children so that they don't need to be with minding their children the whole time, and that they can dedicate some time to their own faith formation. So we've just come off that. Jill, as we speak, is in JPC, John Paul College in Rotorua, leading our annual Year 7, Year 8 festival. We have a net team over from Australia, beautiful young adults filled with the Holy Spirit who are helping her in that effort. So, yeah, and I've mentioned Set Free and Heaven Come. Those are other festivals we run. But day-to-day business is really around making sure we're responding to our parishes and also responding to our youth and young people.
And, of course, just to mention the Catholic Development Fund, where people can contribute to the overall mission of the diocese. So the funding from that covers quite a lot of the costs involved in running your team, and so we're very, very grateful for people who do wish to lodge some funds with us or
Indeed.
Make a donation. And we make sure, as you can see, that the money goes to really good work, and this is what we call the ripple results. They're right there in front of us. We can see how dynamic and inspirational your team is, and it works wonderfully to bring people together and enhance our faith. So we've only got a little bit of time left. So interesting. Could talk to you forever. But if you had to tell us about one highlight of 2025, just briefly, what would that be for you?
Thank you for mentioning so briefly. Look, I think it is just getting to know my team better and feeling more comfortable in the position that I'm in. The listening and learning really mattered, and I still listen and learn. As you mentioned, it is so different working for the church. You know, I'm not by nature a patient person, but I've learned that you need to be patient when working for the church, particularly when you come off corporate dynamic environments. And, and I think that's right and proper. You know, there's important decisions being made in the Holy Spirit. We need to discern and listen and make sure that we are directing our efforts in the right way. So I think that the highlight for me, apart from my podcasts and my filming, which I enjoy, but that's quite selfish, is getting to know my team and getting to serve them most effectively.
And I'm sure you do a great job
Thank
in it
you, Mary.
Too. So if someone is listening and wondering how to get hold of you, how to engage with your team, how do they do that?
Well, you know, there is ringing the Chanel Centre, and I'm sure you'll be providing that phone number at some stage, Marion. There's going on the website. We do have, particularly if you're actually just interested in the Catholic faith, and I have to say anecdotally, certainly at least, but very much around the world, we're seeing an increase in interest in the Catholic faith. We have a page on our website that you can fill in, and Alison, lovely Alison, will get in touch with you directly. I'd say email, website, phone number, and we're only too happy to respond.
Brilliant. And we will be giving out those details at the end of the podcast. So thanks so much for chatting to me today, Joanna. It's been a pleasure. I wish you well in all your future endeavours and in everything that you do. Thank you so much.
God bless. Thank you. Thanks, Marion.
Thank you for joining us today on Ripple Results. Catch us next time when I will be talking with another inspirational guest about their role and aspirations made possible by the Catholic Development Fund. You can find us wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and if you wish to contact us, you can go to www.cdfhamilton.org.nz or give us a call on 07 85 66 989.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.